James chapter 3, verse number 13. I know you're tired, I know you're ready to go home. If you listen fast, I'll preach fast and we'll let you go home. It says in verse number 13, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." You can be seated. Here we go again in James. We had a break for a couple weeks. I'm going to dive right back into chapter 3 tonight and finish out James 3, close out the chapter here. We've talked before about the first 12 verses. We studied about the tongue and preached on that. We looked at the divine standard we have for the tongue, Jesus Christ. We looked at the devastating tongue and the damage it can cause when it's unbridled and untamed and unredeemed, and how really dangerous their tongue really is, how much damage it can cause in your family, in the church, different places. It causes a lot of damage. Talked about how important it is to make sure we have that under control. Talked about that old sin nature and that new, the Holy Spirit ruling and reigning in our life. And which one is ruling is the one that's going to come out of our mouth. That's the one that tames the tongue. This next portion of the chapter is going to deal with behind the scenes, I guess you'd call it, of the tongue. Talking about the wisdom and what the tongue is speaking. Where the words the tongue speaks come from, the wisdom. So let's look at that and see what we can learn from it. Last we looked at the spoken word, and tonight we're going to look at the stored word, stored wisdom. I'm just going to go right into it, starting in verse number 13. We see wisdom and its course. First off, we see the wise behavior in verse number 13. "Who is a wise man and do with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." This is the mark of an actual wise man. That endued with knowledge, it speaks over there. That means to act, that word endued with knowledge, a phrase, means to actually truly understand what you're doing, understand what's something, inside out, up and down, left or right, understand completely what you're talking about, endued with knowledge. You just understand everything about it. It means to be intelligent. It means to comprehend. An example here, I wrote a couple down, but I know I've butchered a deer, a couple deer in my life. I know how to butcher a deer. I've done it a few times. However, Brother John is a butcher by trade. He knows the ins and outs. He can probably do it in his sleep. He's endued with knowledge of butchering an animal. I have some basic practical experience. He is endued with knowledge. I am not. I can mess it up pretty quick. So when James speaks of the man endued with knowledge, this man knows what he is talking about. He is actually legitimately wise. He understands the ins and the outs of it. James says, "That man that is endued with knowledge, let him show out of a good conversation his works." That good conversation means good behavior as well as speech. It also says his works. So I believe James is saying that man is actually wise. Let him prove it by the way he lives. What he talks about, the way he lives, his behavior, his works, he mentions. A wise man won't have to tell you that he's a wise man. If a man is endued with knowledge, he's not going to brag about it. He just is. It used to be a joke when I was working in shop. You could always tell the new guys from the older experienced ones. The new guys called themselves service technicians. The old guys called themselves mechanics. There's a big difference. Ones knows what they're talking about, ones don't. If you're wise, you're not going to have to tell anybody that you're wise. So James is saying, a man endued with knowledge will show it forth by his works, by his works there. He was going to say, with meekness of wisdom. That meekness means humility. The wisest man there is will not claim to be the wisest man there is. That's a good rule to remember. Keep that in mind. If somebody's claiming to be the wisest man, they're probably not. James says the wise Christian does not boast about what he knows or how wise he may think he is. James is teaching us how to be mature Christians. We talked about that. With this wisdom, we ought to have, not to brag about it, wise behavior. If you're wise, a wise man endued with knowledge, a wise man doesn't talk about being a wise man. He's quiet about his meekness. He has humility. He's meek about it. Number two, not only the opposite of the wise behavior, see the wicked behavior, verse number 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. What is James giving us here? He's just listing the exact opposite of what he just listed in verse number 13. But if you have bitter envyings, what does that mean? Bitter envyings, it means bitter jealousy. Jealousy will always lead to bitterness every time. If you're jealous of what so-and-so has, sooner or later you become bitter at that person. Jealousy leads to bitterness. I really like Kevin Struck out there. I'm not jealous over it. I don't want to pay for it. I don't want to, he can have it. But if I was jealous over Kevin's truck, every time I drove past his truck in town, I get more and more jealous. I get, you know, getting bitter over Kevin because he has the truck I'm jealous about. That's what jealousy leads to bitterness. Simple illustration, that's the truth. That's what James is telling us here. Jealousy is a dangerous thing, especially in a church. You can have one side bitter against the other, one family bitter against another family, and then good luck getting anything accomplished for the Lord when you got those, that strife going on. Good luck with it. Not only that, but it'll lead to strife. James says, it continues in verse number 14, it means to be in disagreement, it means to be in factions. So that word strife means this little group or faction of the church over here started because they were jealous of so-and-so over here on this side of the church, people in the back row, jealous of the people in the front row, and they get bitter, started strife and division in the house of God. It causes trouble. You say, well, that would never happen here. Never say never. Be careful. James is giving us an example because it's the exact opposite, verse number 13. If you have wisdom, you're not going to follow through with verse number 14. You're not going to be jealous over silly things. Not going to cause bitterness over sin, not going to cause strife. It's the opposite. He says, if you have these envyings of strife, he says, glory not and lie not against the truth. Don't glory in your envyings of strife. Don't glory in your faction, James says. Don't try to promote one portion of the church above another portion of the church. Don't be boastful. Remember, a wise man doesn't have to tell you he's a wise man. He says, and lie not against the truth. Lying is never going to get you very far. It may produce temporary, immediate gain, but eventually it's going to come to the surface and get yourself in trouble. Lie not against the truth. It's opposite of wisdom. Lies and wisdom are not never going to go together. If you're lying, you're not very wise. Wisdom always follows the truth. We talked about this some with the tongue last time we were in chapter number 3. Wisdom and truth go hand in hand. You cannot lie about the scripture and expect it to produce something good. Truth and wisdom always go together. They are inseparable. So there's our two examples. The wise man and the unwise, are different kind of wisdom. They're wisdom from the world. This wise man's quiet, the quiet man who just proves his wisdom by his actions. And then we have the lying and the jealous and boastful man who has no true wisdom at all. The two extremes. But there's also some in the middle there that aren't listed. James has mentioned those in the middle. And times we may be one side, times we may be the other side. Times we all mess up, we all make mistakes. Sometimes you can be that verse number 13. And many times we mess up and we become that verse number 14 Christian, if you want to call it a Christian. We slip up, become jealous, we cause strife, you all make mistakes. James gives us two sources for wisdom, two examples of wisdom, with or without. Which one are you on? Maybe somewhere in the middle. So you see wisdom and its core, see wisdom and its source. Number one, the source of human wisdom, verse number 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. This wisdom, the wisdom that is lying, bitter, jealous, and boastful, he says that wisdom descendeth not from above. In other words, it ain't from God. Don't blame it on him. He didn't give you that wisdom. It's earthly, sensual, it's devilish, and it is earthly. It's the wisdom of this world. It's human philosophy and psychology and science and even religion. It's all man-made wisdom, earthly wisdom. It's usually the source of a lot of confusion and a lot of damage. All these things have had their chance to produce answers and wisdom and haven't done it yet. We had the Greek philosopher about that a couple Sundays ago. The Greek philosophers here, even before Jesus came, they were around. We talked about how one of those encouraged abortion, earthly wisdom. Religions of this world, all man-made religions, have caused more confusion than anything else. I've had people tell me, well, I'm not very religious. The best answer to that is, well, neither am I. That's not the point, is to be religious. I'm not trying to be religious. I don't want a religion. I want a relationship with the Lord. It's not about religion. It's not about rituals. But pleasing someone in authority. Not about pleasing somebody in authority of the church. It's all about him. Science. Talk about religion. Talk about science. It's helped many ways. We have modern medicine, even modern machines and buildings we're able to produce because of engineering and science. It's earthly wisdom. It's also caused a lot of damage. Most scientists claim to be evolutionists. Evolution has created such an easy explanation to get away from the truth of Scripture. It's damaging to our world. These are earthly sources of wisdom that James mentioned. He talks about earthly wisdom. We have many earthly sources of wisdom. Y'all lead back to the verse number 14. And you don't do us much good for the Lord. It's going to cause envy, going to cause strife and bitterness and jealousy, going to cause trouble. Not only earthly wisdom he mentions sensual wisdom. That sensual means our breath, our life, our spirit, our flesh. We as fallen men have a fallen sin nature, sensual nature. It may be wisdom, if you want to call it that. Maybe knowledge. It goes back to verse number 14. It's going to cause trouble, at least to lying and envying and strife. Even worse than both of those sources, he mentions one more. He says it's devilish. The earthly wisdom has a satanic source. During the first mention of the word wise in the Bible, we talked about the first mention principle before. First time the word wise is mentioned in the Bible, it's a serpent talking to Eve, telling her a tree to be desired to make one wise. There's a lot of satanic wisdom on this earth that we can get in trouble with. Satan will offer you wisdom. He'll offer you worldly wisdom, wisdom through false religion or atheism or many modern humanistic science. There are many men out there, they feel they are wise and don't need Jesus because they're smarter than that or above that. Devilish wisdom, he's mentioned here. Now, wisdom, obviously, does not descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, devilish. Be careful where your wisdom comes from. Not all knowledge is good knowledge. Verse 16, we see earthly wisdom's outcome, what it produces. Verse number 16, for where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. It's basically what I've already said. Where that envying and strife, where it is, with that jealousy and bitterness from verse number 14, earthly wisdom, James says, where it is, there will be confusion, be every evil work. Comes back to that confusion. First Corinthians 14:33. For God's not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. This wisdom, if you want to call it wisdom, it's false wisdom, does not come from God. James says, only leads to confusion, leads to every evil work. You may learn a lot of things. You may learn a lot of things on this earth. You may think you're a wise man. It's worldly, earthly wisdom. It's not going to get you very far. It's going to cause confusion and going to lead to every evil work. Every evil work done can be traced back to this type of wisdom, James says here. He says in every evil work, every wrong deed, every scheme, every wrong thing that has been said, we trace back to the knowledge of the wisdom of this world. Every sin, everything we have done wrong, comes from earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom that we all possess. James started off his chapter talking about the tongue and the damage the tongue can cause. Here is the source of the damage coming from the tongue. It comes from this type of wisdom. Every confusion, every evil work, is sourced from the worldly, earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom. Every time we speak wrong or say something wrong, it's coming from this. Here's the source. It says in verse number 6 in the same chapter, and the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. I told you that our problem with our tongue is who we decide to let control it. With our inward man, our flesh, the saved man, the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Here's James is saying the same thing in verse number 16. Confusion and every evil work done, including that done by the tongue in verse number 6, can trace back to the source of wisdom we were falling after. Can trace back to this earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom. Be careful the wisdom you're following. Be careful the wisdom you're believing in. It can cause trouble, cause division, cause strife. You see the source of heavenly wisdom, not only the earthly wisdom, but heavenly wisdom, verse number 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. A source of wisdom that we want. This source of wisdom, this is what wisdom, true wisdom, looks like. Wisdom from above is first pure. James says, first things first, God's wisdom is pure, it's undefiled, it's only right, it's never wrong. That word pure has a sense of always being perfect, never have been defiled. You can do wrong now and you can get it right and be forgiven, but you're only going to be pure once. Once defiled, something cannot be turned back into pure again. It can be cleaned up. The Lord can forgive. The Lord can change. But that you're only pure one time. James says wisdom from God is always pure. Always, and God will never teach us anything wrong, never confuse us, never do anything wrong. Those things we do wrong are not heavenly wisdom, earthly, devilish wisdom. James says everything from God is pure, perfect. He continues. First pure, then peaceable. Godly wisdom is always after peace. Peace with God, peace with others. God is not the author of confusion. That's what he said before. He's not the inventor of strife. What he's already mentioned before. Godly wisdom is peaceable. It'll bring peace. We got to learn some of that ourselves. Is when his wisdom is gentle. That gentle means mild. It means in moderation or patient. Godly wisdom is patient. I know we don't like that word around here. I don't like that word. We need some of that too, myself included. Godly wisdom will teach you to wait on God. It says it's easy to be entreated. That phrase means to be approachable, easy to be asked. Godly wisdom will teach you to be easy to be asked. And that's confusing. God tells you to do something, you jump right to it. There's something to be done in the church. you're asked to do it, you jump right in. Easy to be entreated, easy to be asked. You're approachable. You're easy to be entreated. Good for persuasion is what Strong's Concordance says about that phrase. You're quick to respond, to jump to action. The next one he mentions is important. He says, godly wisdom is full of mercy. How hard we fail on this one many times. God gave us mercy. I think God gave me mercy. He gives mercy every day. None of us deserve to be alive today, much less alive and well and blessed like we are. He's given us mercy. Godly wisdom will teach you to give mercy to others. We are quick to accept mercy and very slow to dish it out. Someone does us wrong, we want revenge. We want to slap them back. You expect mercy from God, we're very slow to give it back out. We have a lot to learn. So it's full of mercy and good fruits. So full of good fruits. I think that one's pretty simple. Full of good fruits. You produce a lot of good fruit if you have heavenly wisdom. Godly wisdom leads you to produce good fruit, good works, and souls for your labor, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. We talked about that in James chapter 2, the first part there. Respect for the man in goodly apparel, but the turning up the nose to the one in vile raiment, that partiality and without hypocrisy. James hits it again. He apparently had a problem with this in the early church. He hits it again. Godly wisdom teaches you to be pure, teaches you to be peaceable and gentle, easily entreated, merciful, fruitful to everyone, without hypocrisy, without partiality, regardless of race or standing, regardless of their past, regardless of who they are and where they've been. Someone with wisdom is above, is like in verse number 13, is no hypocrite, is what James is saying. I'm glad God is no respecter of persons, because if he was, I'd probably be at the bottom of the list. Godly wisdom is hard, but it is right. And if we'll learn to follow it, that'll help us help out our tongue problem that we all have. A tongue we mentioned a couple weeks ago, beginning of chapter number 3. If we can get this last part right, it'll help out your tongue. Get the wisdom part in your head right, it'll help out your tongue. Which one are you listening to? Which wisdom are you following? What source are you following? We see wisdom in its course. The two different examples. You see wisdom in its source, or where it's coming from. Number 3, we see wisdom in its force. Verse number 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. What does this verse mean? Put it in my own words, if I can do that, just for a minute. If you want to peaceably harvest righteousness, you must first sow it in peace. If you want to live in peace with man and with God, if you want to harvest righteousness, if you want the fruit of righteousness, then you must first sow it in peace. You can't sow oranges and expect apples to come up. You can't sow discord and hatred and strife and bitterness and expect to live peaceable life before God and before man. It doesn't work that way. You reap what you sow. You sow the wisdom of God, you reap the fruits of righteousness, what James is saying here. If you're constantly starting strife, you're constantly in disagreement, if you're constantly sowing discord, you're not going to get peace in return. It's not going to work that way. You're not going to have those fruits of righteousness. You say, well, how do I sow in peace? It goes back to that tongue we learned about in the first part of that chapter. Watch your mouth. What are you speaking? In my home, in particular, if I'm a smart aleck, which I tend to be anyway, I struggle with that. If I'm not careful, I'll respond like a smart aleck. Now he doesn't like that. I'm not going to get a very good return from that. I'm not going to harvest happiness for my wife if I'm sowing smart aleck remarks. If I want to harvest peace, I must first sow peace. It's a very simple example. That's what point James is trying to make here, I believe. And it goes back to your tongue. Your tongue is controlled by the wisdom. What are you sowing? You're going to get back what you're sowing. Where's your wisdom coming from? What do you talk about? What do you think about? What do you pray about? Are you starting strife? Do you have jealousy? Are you lying? Talked about all those things. Are you peaceable and gentle? Easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality, without hypocrisy? I don't know anybody can live up to every one of those at all times. We all mess up in one of those somewhere. You can look at the life of Jesus and see examples of every one of these attributes from wisdom from above. He possessed them. I'm not going to go through it tonight, but you can go through his life of Jesus while he's here on earth. You can see an attribute. You can see an example of this. Every one of these attributes in his life. Example, he taught every one of them while he was here. James is teaching us to be mature Christians. That word Christians means to be Christ-like. We have a good example. He led to every one of these here on earth. I've given you, preached several messages here in James. Things are very hard to live up to. And I'm going to promise you, I haven't lived up to any of them yet. We're all learning. This is teaching us, every one of us, to be mature Christians. I'm not pointing fingers at anything I preach here in James. The Lord's convicting me before I bring it to you. We have a lot to learn. We have a perfect example to follow, perfect, pure wisdom to follow and learn from the scriptures. What about you, church? What wisdom do you possess? What wisdom is controlling your tongue? You better be careful. All the trouble in the church you can find is going to come back to this. Come back to the wisdom, come back to the tongue, usually. Usually we say something we didn't mean. You say something we shouldn't have said. It goes back to this wisdom. It's very important. It's pretty simply laid out by James here. I know I didn't tell you anything you can't read right there for yourself. Very simple. It's a big example you need to follow. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, thank you for the scriptures, Lord, and thank you for teaching us, Lord. Thank you for all you've done for us in Jesus' name. Amen.